All right, morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Ayin. We are on the very bottom of Samach Tesem and Beis. And the Gemara yesterday dealt with a number of really interesting questions. Fascinating discussion in the Gemara yesterday. But we're going to be covering just from the tail end of yesterday's daf. Nothing to do with Menachos, not nothing, but little to do with Menachos, but having more to do with halachas of, they're really all agricultural halachas. Arla, Kalaya, Kerem. And basically the question is as follows. Let's say you have Nikr, you have a base of growth, and then you have Tosefis, you have addition on that growth. So how do you view the Tosefis? Do you view it as just simply an extension of the Ikr? Or do I view it as something now that's new and independent? And it has a lot of nafkaminas, the Gemara discussed yesterday. The Gemara was asking yesterday this question both as a Chumra and as a Kula. So let's say, for example, I'll give you just some of the examples that we saw in yesterday's daf. Let's say you have a grain that was a third developed before the Amer, and then what you did is you uprooted it and you put it back into the ground after the Amer, and there's new growth. Okay, so now here we have it. So in other words, the Iker, the base that grew, obviously the Omer, it passed over the Omer, so that means to say that the Omer was Matir it, and so now as far as the base is concerned, the base is Mutter. But now, when you took it out, and then after the Omer, you put it back in again, so all that new Tosefis never saw the Omer. So here we have a scenario where you see this question coming to fruition, with pun intended. So now, the new growth, is the new growth considered, is it considered just an extension of the old? The old is Mutter, therefore the new should be Mutter. Or no, is the new growth considered something which is panim chadashos? It's a new entity. It never experienced the Omer, so therefore it should be, you're going to have to wait till next Omer in order to eat it. And the Gemara gave a number of other examples of this type of question of Iker and Tosefis. With that in mind, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday by Rabbah. It is the last line on Samach Tesem and Beis. Le'in Meiser Mai. What would be the halacha regarding Meiser? Now, Hei Chidam, the Gemara says, first, let's ask what the case is. So let's set ourselves up so we understand what we're really asking over here. So the Gemara now illustrates the following example as we turn to the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. De Amdinu Ve'asrinu Ve'shaslinu. So what we did is as follows. In other words, we cut the ear. In other words, the grain, we cut the entire ear of the grain. But in other words, we don't know actually how many kernels there are in the ear. And so what we do is we take a good guess, an educated guess in terms of how much grain is in there. And then what we did is we were mafresh maestros based on our estimation. I know it's a bizarre scenario. And then what we did, so what do we have over here? We have the grains in the ear that are matukan. In other words, they're corrected, they're fixed. And then what we did is we put it back into the ground. And vehosifu luhu. And what happens now is that there is new growth on top of the old growth. So far, so good. It's not an easy case, admittedly. It's a little bit complicated, but that is in such a scenario. Now, as Rashi over here points out, top Rashi in the Amud. Look at the second line of Rashi. Im tim salam alachom adlo aslin abaster ikar lemifter tosefes mi maisef tosefes by isurei ikar gufe mai lemehadibahu isurei alo. Look, if we are going to make a division between ikar and tosefes, where, look, the Iker is concerned, as far as the Iker is concerned, the replanted grains that went back into the ground. So as far as the Iker is concerned, I already took off Trumas and Maestros. So now that I replanted into the ground, now as far as the Tosefis is concerned, the way Rashi sets up the scenario, obviously the Tosefis needs Hafrashas Trumas and Maestros. In other words, the Tosefis for sure can and will become Tevel. But as far as the Iker is concerned, do I say the Iker is separate from the Tosefis? And as far as the Iker is concerned, that I already was Mafresh Trumas and Maestros, or no? The Iker now and the Tosefis are indistinguishable from one another. They are one entity. And just like the Tosefis is going to require Trumas and Maestros, the Iker as well. This is the way that we're setting up the question. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. Amar Abaye. I'm sorry, did I read it in the Gemara? No, I did not. Let's go to the Gemara. Second line down. Imtim salam alaz in abasar ikr v'tosefes by isure ikramai. So, okay, good. The way we just set up the question. If the Tosefis for sure needs hafreshos trumas and maestros, but what is the story with the ikr? Is it considered part and parcel of the Tosefis, or does it remain its and maintain its independent identity? Amalu Abaye maishnami kol chitev isara da'alma. So Abaye says, I don't get it. You plant wheat and barley at any given point in time. Meaning, can we ask this question all the time? You planted wheat and barley. Of course, let's assume that you took off shrumas and maaser. So the wheat and the barley seeds that you planted into the ground, the kernels that you planted in the ground are mesukan. They're corrected, they're fixed. And now I plant them in the ground. Aren't we always going to have this question of ikar tosefes, meaning the wheat seed that went into the ground, that is corrected? In other words, we always have this question. And when I harvest and when I take the new grain or the new growth, can't I just simply ask, well, do I have to take off shumas and maaser from the ikar? So Amar Lei, so they said to Abaye, Davish Azar Kala Lo Mi Baye Lei. No, you're misunderstanding. If we're talking about a seed that decomposes in the ground, there's no question. Because there, I don't have a question of ikar versus tosefes. When I take a seed and I put it into the ground and the seed decomposes, it's no longer there. In other words, the entire entity, the new growth, is a totally new entity. And so we don't have a question of ikar and tosefes. Elaki kami baili davisha in zarukala mai. So the Gemara says, but my question is when I'm putting something into the ground where the seed does not disintegrate, where I have a clear demarcation of what was the original versus what's the new growth. So the Gemara says, Tifshu le meha. So the Gemara says, why don't we consider the following? The Amar of Yitzhak, Amar of Yochanan, Litra, Batzel, Shetiknu, Vizaro, Mit Aser Lefi Kulo. So the Gemara says, what about onions? So onions is a root. It's a bulb. And what we do with the onion is that we take the onion proper, we put it back into the ground. Now the onion itself does not disintegrate. But rather what happens with the onion is you have new growth. And over here, so I have an onion, I took off, I was mafresh shumas amaisos, the onion now is fixed, it's corrected, it's masukan. I put the onion in the ground, the onion itself in the ground does not disintegrate, we have a clear demarcation between the ikar versus the tosefes, and so every time you plant an onion, isn't it going to be a question? And meanwhile, we have a statement made very clearly by Rav Yochanan, that when I have the onion, I plant in the ground, and there's new growth, so how am I mafresh shumas amaisos? Against the entire entity, even the original onion that I already was mafresh shumas amaisos, I'm going to take off now when I take out the onion with its new growth on the ground, I'm mafresh against the entire entity. So here you have a clear demonstration of when there's new growth, I view the ikar like the tosefis, and it's a new entity, both the new growth and the original. The Gemara says, So the Gemara says, let's not compare. Because when we're talking about an onion, this is the very nature of an onion. Meaning the entire nature of the way onions work is that the bulb goes into the ground and new growth is grown. That's how you grow onions. So there, since this is the way it's done, so every single time I plant an onion and I get new growth, I view the entire entity as a new entity. But if we're talking about a case where this is not the way it's normally done, I took an ear, I put it back into the ground, new growth is coming off the ear, this is an unusual manner in terms of how we plant wheat and barley, so therefore the Gemara leaves this off as a question. So the Gemara says, now what about a pot that does not, have holes in it? It's an atzit she'eino nakuv. And let's go over information that we already know. In order for produce to be chayv and shumas amaisos, so it has to get a yanik, it has to get a sustenance from the ground. If it does not get its sustenance from the ground, so then it's min haTorah, not chayv and shumas amaisos. So I plant something in a pot, and the pot is not perforated, does not have holes, and there's no direct yanika, nourishment, from the plant to the ground. So min haTorah, it's not chayv and shumas amaisos. Midrabanan it is, but midoraisa it's not. And so therefore, the Gemara wants to know, what is the status of a pot that is not perforated? Now, the way the Gemara originally presents the question, it's like, what's the question? And that's exactly what the Gemara says, ilo nakov, halo nakov. So I don't understand, says the Gemara. If the pot isn't perforated, the pot isn't perforated, and what are we even talking about? We all know, a non-perforated pot, so what you grow inside of it, in Eretz Yisrael, min haTorah is not chayv and shumas amaisos. So the Gemara says, Dilma chazav v'nikvu ka'amart. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's make the question, obviously, exciting. Exciting meaning, you could see it in one of two ways. So let's say that the original plant that I grew in the pot that is non-perforated, I say plant, by the way, I mean, you know, it's a produce that we're growing in the pot. So let's say it started off as non-perforated, and it started growing. And then what I did is I made perforations in the pot. So basically now we're back to the same question that we asked before. So now as far as the Iker is concerned, the original growth, min HaTorah, was not chayv in Trumas HaMaisos. But now that after there is some growth, I made perforations in the pot, now there's additional growth, so here we go once again with our question of Iker versus Tosefes. As far as the Iker is concerned, the original growth, not chayv in Trumas HaMaisos min HaTorah. As far as the Tosefes is concerned, it is chayv in Trumas HaMaisos min HaTorah. So halcha chad azriyehi, ichburuhu dekam ichburei, v'ola, hasam shtei zriyos ninu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even if we're right, I could still distinguish between this case and the previous case. In this case over here, the Gemara describes it, chad azriyah. It's one planting. Meaning, yes, it's true that there has been a halachic status change in the course of the growth. But as far as the planting is concerned, it's one act of planting. Yes, I made perforations in the pot. And that makes a difference halachically whether it is chayv and shumas ha-maisos midrabanan versus min ha-Torah. You're right about that. But as far as the act of planting is concerned, it's one act of planting. Masha ein kein, in the previous case, we talked about taking an ear, ripping it out of the ground, putting it back into the ground. Those are two separate acts of planting. So there we had a discussion and a debate whether or not we could differentiate between Iker and Tosefes. But over here, we cannot make any differentiation between Iker and Tosefes as it is one planting. And therefore what? Gemara is not super clear, and therefore what? Let's go to Rashi. Rashi, chad azriyahi. V'achshav kishenikvehi mitchilas lahashrish avagabebay derava shtei zriyotein dishibolas hilchach itzrech leilem ibai ihadem mechayev leitosefes leikar lemehadu yisurei alo. So Rashi points out that the difference now would be as follows. Now over here in our case of the perforated pot, that it's one zriya, so we cannot make a distinction between ikar and tosefes. Since tosefes is chayev min HaTorah, so is the ikar as well. Previously, it was two separate plantings, so maybe, again, the Gemara doesn't know, the Gemara is not conclusive, but maybe we could differentiate between the Iker and the Tosefes. Back to the Gemara. By Rabbi Abahu, Shibol Shemarcha Bekri, Vishasla Vekara Lashev B'mechubar Mahu. So let's have Shibolos, once again, we're with our ears of grain, and Marcha Bekri. I made a pile of it, and I smoothed out the pile. And as we talk about time and again, when is the chiyuv of Trumas HaMaisos kick in? When does the status of Tevel kick in? Those are the same things. When does the status of Tevel kick in? At the end of production. Now the end of production is Miruach HaKri, when I smooth off the top, so I now know exactly how much is there. Now that I know the entire quantity of grain, it's now Tevel, therefore Chayv and Trumas HaMaisos. Fine. So, I have Shibolos, I was Meiruch Bekri, I smoothed off the top, Vishasla, and then what we did is we planted it back into the ground, Vikara ala Shem b'mechubar. And what we did is that we were Kori Shem, we set aside the Trumas HaMaisos while they were underground. And so now Mahu, what would be the halacha? Given the Mercha Tavlala, so in other words, once I did Meiruch, so I gave it now the status of Tevel, and Kikara ala Shem, Kaddish ala, and therefore, when I designate it as which sections are going to be Trumas HaMaisos, the designation does in fact take place. Odilma came into Shasla, Pakale Tevla Mina, or maybe no. Maybe once I put it back into the ground, so the Tevel status goes away. Meaning there cannot be a Tevel status while it is underground. Once it's underground, it is literally grounded. It's part and parcel of the ground, and therefore it can't have a Tevel status while underground. So Amalei Rabban La'abayim came atzina Trumas HaMaisos LaKarka. So the Gemara says, well, let's just for a moment, let's entertain this idea that you're right. If you're right, then we have Shruma, which is Mechubel HaKarka, connected to the ground. V'tanan, and we learned in the Mishnah, interestingly enough, we don't know where the Mishnah is. Now when I say we, the fact that I don't know where the Mishnah is, not a big deal. On the side of the Gemara, L'kotzer Dati, right? The Mesoros HaShas, which is usually the reference point to where you're going to find any Mishnah, so he knew the Mishnah was backwards, forwards, inside out. The coach said, "Dati lo yedati letzayim akama b'mishnah." I don't know where this Mishnah is. Obe b'raisa sheyim afurish davrezeh. Okay, so in other words, this is the only place we're going to be seeing this Mishnah or b'raisa. He doesn't know where it's referencing. But anyway, but it's here in our daf. So let's call it a brisa, because assuming presumably it's not a mishnah. But in any event, lama tefina truma b'mechuba l'karka. Meaning, as a rule, the brisa teaches us that when something's underground, it can't, or connected, even connected to the ground, it can't have a truma status. Truma status is only those things which are detached from the ground and have arrived at the point of tevel. So over here, it's a strange question we're entertaining, right? We're trying to analyze what happens when I take grains, I harvest it, do everything with it, get it to the point of production, where we were meruchah kri, and now it has the tevel status. And then I put it back into the ground to plant it, and now I'm mafish shumas amaisus while it's underground. What kind of question is that? Things underground do not have tevel status, and therefore can't get shumas amaisus status. So Amar Leki Tanya Healing in a Chuvim Isav Chomesh. So Abayi says, I also know that Braisa. That Braisa, when that Braisa says that you can't have Truma status for anything connected to the ground, it doesn't mean Truma in the sense that it's not Truma at all. It just simply means that you will not have liability for eating it if you're not a Kohen. A non-Kohen eating Truma, first of all, non-Kohen cannot eat Truma. If doing so, b'mezid is chayv misa b'dei shamayim. If a non-Kohen eats Truma b'shogeg, has to pay Karen Chomesh, principal, and another 25% on top of that. And what all the Brice is teaching us is that in the event that a person eats Truma that's connected to the ground, it could be Truma, he just won't have liability for the eating of it. Why not? Because if he detaches it from the ground, so it's detached. And the igachin v'achel. Now, let's say he gets down on the ground and eats it while it's connected to the ground. Batlay daita etzah kol adam. That is not achila. Now, of course, it is consumption biologically, physiologically, it's eating, but halachically, it's not eating. Why? To put it simply, it's weird. And when something is done in such an unusual fashion, where you're eating produce that's still connected to the ground, it does not have a shame achila. It's not considered eating, and therefore you don't have the liability of Karen V'chomish. The liability of Karen V'chomish is only when you eat the truma, and halachically this is such an unusual form of eating, so therefore it does not consider it eating. But as far as the produce being called truma, it is in fact truma. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. We're talking about eating things that are connected to another item. And you're telling me that's weird. I'm telling you it's not weird. Consider the following. Ilfa had a notebook. And in the notebook of Ilfa, we saw the following. Beitza, nivlasof hatorah, miksasim mechutzim, miksasim bifnim. So let's say I have eggs of a bird. We know that in order to contract tumah from a bird that did not receive a proper shechita, a nevelas of tahor, so you have to eat it, you have to consume it, and the meat has to go into the beis ablia. It has to go into your throat. Then and only then are you tummy. It is the most unusual way of contraction of tumma. Normally we talk about tumma, a person becoming tummy either through maga or through masa, or if it's the mace through ohel. But over here, as it relates to nivlas of tahor, so you have to do an achila, you have to eat it, and it has to go into your throat. Now we all know the halacha that it has to be, you have to be eating the actual meat of the nivlas of tahor. Eggs are considered part and parcel of the chicken. So if that's true, then why aren't eggs fleishig? So you'll go to the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza in the beginning actually discusses this question. Obviously, the difference lies between whether the eggs are part of the bird, meaning physically connected to the bird, or the detached and disconnected from the bird. See the Gemara in Beitza over there. Our discussion over here revolves around where the eggs are not only attached to the mother, but in the mother. And as such, what we're going to learn together is that while the eggs are still inside the mother, they are considered not only part and parcel of the mother, but they're considered nevelas of tahor, meaning it's basically the meat of the animal. And so therefore, in this notebook of Ilfa, nevelas of tahor, miksasim b'chutzim, miksasim b'fnim, let's say the eggs are between in and out of the mother. So if you eat the egg that is inside of the mother, the part of the egg that's inside of the mother, that's considered like eating the bird. And therefore one would contract nivlasof tahor. One would contract tumah. And mi bachutz, but if you ate the part of the egg that's outside, that's not considered like eating the bird. So the only reason why we bring this case up is because we are talking about a person eating something that is connected to something else, and something that's inside something else, and we're calling that nachila. The Gemara says, let's not compare. Talish avidi inshe de'achle. Hachi b'mechubar lo avidi inshe de'achle. We're talking about an egg and a bird. An egg and a bird, in other words, if I'm eating the bird, so I'm eating everything, every part of the bird, every edible part of the bird. So the fact that the eggs are inside, that's not unusual. That's fine. That's normal. Okay, I say normal, meaning I don't see people running after chickens and trying to eat its eggs. But back in the day, in other words, the eggs were just simply part and parcel of the bird, and therefore it's mutter. Ma she'ein came when we're talking about eating produce of the ground. It is unusual for people to eat produce of the ground while they're still connected to the ground. People only eat produce of the ground after it's detached. So again, the Gemara says it's not comparable. If let's say you plant kalayim in a non-perforated pot, usur. So it's going to be prohibited. Now, even though, despite the fact that it does not get a yinik, it does not get a sustenance from the ground, it still is kalayim, it's still going to be usur. Amar Rabbi Bishlam Yeshmin and Loke Makas Marudus Midrabban Shapir. Now, when we say usur, it makes more sense to say that what he meant is that it's rabbinically forbidden. Ella asr mai kamashmalan demidra rabbanan hi havyazria. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, meaning what? When all said and done, what's the chiddush over here? What's the novel idea? Because if all we're saying is that when you plant in a non-perforated pot, so the way we're going to be viewing that is midra rabbanan rabbinically, that's considered planting. We knew that already. The Tanina Tara mishenu nakav al nakav truma v'yachzav yitrom. If I take off truma from a non-perforated pot onto a perforated pot, mm-hmm. produce from a non-perforated pot onto produce of a perforated pot, so what would I have said? So without the brisa, I would have said, you're being mafrish from something which is not chayv min haTorah onto something which is chayv min haTorah. I would say that it would have no effect whatsoever. It's nothing, it's zero. However, that's not true. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that it's truma v'yachzor v'yitrom. It's truma and do it again. Well, what does that mean, it's truma and do it again? If it's truma, why do I have to do it again? And the answer is that the first truma is a truma midrabanan. Because rabbinically, we view pots, even non-perforated pots, we view it as planting, we view it as zriya, and so therefore, rabbinically, it has a status. So when I'm mafrish from non-perforated to perforated, so I'm being mafrish from derabanan to daraisa. But in other words, but the point is that the non-perforated is derabanan, and therefore it obtains a truma status, albeit a derabanan. So we already see that a non-perforated pattern has a zriya status, and so when you're giving me the example regarding kalayim, you're telling me something that quite frankly we already knew. Okay, adkan. So first half of today's daf, a discussion of Iker versus Tosefos. This is a continuation of yesterday's daf regarding when I have original growth and I have new growth on top of that, and they're separated by, we gave numerous examples of what they're separated by, an actual second planting, meaning uprooted and planted again, or maybe they were separated by a perforation of the plot, of the pot, although quite frankly, as the Gemara itself admitted, that's not much of a separation regarding the act of planting. But in other words, the basic discussion of the side A of today's daf is that when I have an Iker and I have a Tosefes, so how do I view them? Do I view them as independent entities, one from another, or do I view them as one entity? Okay, an oversimplification of the first half of today's daf, but that was side A. We're not turning the page yet, but here comes side B. Side B is some of the most basic halachas regarding the Omer and what it's going to be matir. So as we have already discussed and established, when you bring the Omer on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan, so the Omer or the day, right, that was 2 days ago, that discussion, the Omer or the day is now going to serve as a matir, so that all new grains that grew over the course of the year, or over the course of the last season, are now going to be mutter. Prior to this point in time, they're usher, it's chadash, and they're usher, and only after the Havasa Omer, so then do they become mutter. Which grains? So we all know the answer. It's the five grains. Mishnah over here is going to establish that point. So as long as we're bringing up the five grains, so the Mishnah over here is going to give us the various halachas that are related to the five grains. The five grains are wheat, barley, Kusmin spelt Shibol Shu'al Oats and Shifon Arai. So these are the five grains where, number one, says the Mishnah, the Chayv and Chala. When you make dough, when you make bread, so there's a mitzvah of Hafreshas Chala, and to give it to the Kohen. Nowadays, obviously, we don't give it to the Kohanim. But which grains do we have this mitzvah? The five grains that we just described. Oh, mitzvahim zemizeh, and they combine one with another. Stay tuned as we're going to explain what that means. Ve'asurin bechadash milifnei haPesach. And there's a prohibition of chadash before Pesach. Now, in our Mishnah, we have the word Pesach. So really, in other words, the Mishnah probably means, and on the bottom he says the girsa could be changed to Omer, meaning it's not Pesach, it's really the Omer. Meaning, and so these five grains now are subject to the Isra of Chadash until the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. And Melektsor Melefnei HaOmer, also, there is a din that you can't harvest them before the Omer. You can't harvest them before the Omer because they're not yet mutter. And if we start harvesting them before the Omer, so the concern that we may come to eat it. Remember, we had that discussion a couple days ago. The Mishnah says, now, at what point do we say that the Omer is matir grain? Meaning, how much development of the grain is necessary in order for the Omer to be matir? Now, I know we said this already, but here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Imi shrisha karma Omer, haomer matiram. Ve'imlav asurin achiyavo haomer haba. And so the Mishnah over here gives us the point, the significant point of developmental growth of the grain, and quite frankly, it's not much. It's just taking root. You don't even have to see ears of you don't have to see stalks. You don't have to see any development of the actual grain itself. As long as the seed has taken root into the ground, the omer is going to be matir. I'm sure the farmers know with precision when this point occurs. You can't ask me, right? I was going to say I'm a city boy. I don't know about that, but right? I'm not an agriculture guy. So in any event, however, hashrasha is all you need in order for the omer to be matir. And if, let's say, you planted the seed in the ground, but hashrasha has not occurred, rooting has not occurred, okay, so now this omer is not going to be a matir, this grain. You're going to have to wait now an entire year before you can eat these grains. Right, as a practical point, you're not going to want to plant right before the omer, because then the omer is not going to do anything with those grains. Okay, Tana. Now the Gemara starts off with the following. Now I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi, as I normally do. The Gemara over here now is speaking to the idea of tziruf. The Mishnah made a comment about these grains combining with one another. And really interesting, with the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, is that there are five grains, but there really are two teams. There's team wheat. I know, this is my creativity over here. There's team wheat and there's team barley. In other words, so even in the grains, so they're going to be divided into two categories. And who's on team wheat and who's on team barley? Now, I'm sure for the people who are knowledgeable about grains, this makes sense. To me, I'm just following the Gemara. Okay, so who's on team wheat? So kusmin min chitin. So going on team wheat is a spelt. So spelt and wheat are of the same family. And shibol shuol v'shifon min se'orin. And as far as the oats and the rye, they're in the barley family. So when, the way Rashi understands it, when we're talking about tziruf, yes, there's going to be tziruf in the five grains, but only within the same family. So spelt and wheat are going to combine for the mitzvah of hafreshas challah. Barley together with oats and rye are going to combine for the mitzvah of challah, but wheat and barley and any of the subsidiaries of wheat and barley are not going to combine one with another. That's the way Rashi presents it. Good. So now, just in case you need to know what these grains are in Aramaic, no need to worry. The Gemara tells us. So Seorin, I'm sorry, Kusmin, we're now on the top of Ayin Amud Beis, Kusmin is Gulba. And Shibon is Dishra. And Shibol Shual is Shibol Itala. Good. So for the Amoraim of the 5th, 6th, 7th century, so 5th and 6th, whatever. So now they have a good definition of what these various grains are. Hani in or is Vidochin law. Gemara goes into a discussion which is classic, but here we go again. So what is a grain and what isn't a grain? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's not a grain vis-a-vis these halachas, and that would be rice and millet. Rice and millet are not grains vis-a-vis all these halachas. The halacha of chadash, of challah, And so these are not part of the grains. So Menachem Emilian, how do I know this? And I heard the quip, and Danny, you're absolutely right. So Menachem Emilian, Amar Rish Lakish, Asya Lechem Lechem Imatza, we base it on Gzera Shava. We know Ksiv HaChava Yabach Lechem Lechem Haaretz. It says you're eating from the Lechem Haaretz Uksiv Hasam Lechem Oni. It says regarding the matzah, the Torah describes as Lechem. V'Hasam Gufi Minala. Now how do I know that by matzah? Matzah can only be made from the five grains, and rice and millet do not create matzah. So I'm Reish Lakish v'chein tan debei Rav Yishma v'chein tan debei Rav Elaz ben Yaakov amakra. So he says, I'll tell you why I know that. Lo socha lav chamesh shivas yamim tocha lav matzos lechem oni, because we know that there is a direct relationship between chametz and matzah. Obviously an inverse relationship, but a direct relationship. The dvarim habayim l'dei chimutz, adam yotze bayim l'dei chovasa bepesach. Yatzu elu, she'im bayim l'dei chimutz, ela yidei sirchun. What can become matzah? Only that which can become chametz. If something can't become chametz, it can't become matzah. You take rice, you take millet, and you add it with water. So is there going to be fermentation? No, there's not going to be any fermentation. It's not. It doesn't result in chametz. It results in what the Gemara describes as sirchon. It spoils, it decays, but it doesn't puff up, it doesn't inflate, and it doesn't ferment. So since we know, so now let's follow each step of the conclusion. Since we know that rice and millet cannot become chametz, so and that is that's a natural reality, right? That it cannot become chametz. So therefore, it's not eligible to become matzah. So since it's not eligible to become matzah, so through Gzeira Shava, we now know that all these agricultural halachas of challah and chadash don't apply to them as well. Okay, so the five grains are limited only to the five grains. Okay. It's not the first time we've learned together in Shas that rice and millet do not become chametz. The Gemara says unequivocally. Although, admittedly, there is one Tana that says that rice and millet do become chametz and can be converted to matzah, but it's not a position. The Gemara over here doesn't even mention that position. It's not a position that's accepted la'alacha. Okay, and minhag Ashkenaz not to eat rice and other kinyos and Pesach. Good, so that's our minhag. So the and various explanations why. Not for now. Umitzarfin ze im ze. They combine one with another. So Tana, hatzvuva kamachim va'abitzekus mitzarfin zem ze. So you can have grains and flour and dough, and they will combine with one another. Lamai hilchasa. The Gemara says combine for what purpose? So the Gemara is going to give no less than four different permutations. So Amrav Kahana lein yichadosh. So Rav Kahana says as far as chadosh is concerned, meaning that if I combine these various different types of grains in their natural state, in their flour state, in a roll state, in a dough state, so they're all going to combine for the Isser of Chadash. The Rav Yosef, Amar Linyan Chametz BePesach, as far as Chametz is concerned, meaning how much Chametz does one have to eat in order to incur the Karis penalty? A Kazayas. What if the Kazayas is a composite of these various different types of wheats in their different forms? Still going to be chayev. Rav Papa Amar Linyan Maaser Sheni. The Achal Echutz Chamalaki. Rav Papa says, as far as Maaser Sheni is concerned, if I take an aggregate amount of this, of these different types of grains in their different forms, and I put them together and eat a kezayis outside of Chamas Yerushalayim, you're going to get Malkus. Rav Amar Linyan Tumas Ochlin. So Rav says, as far as Tumas Ochlin is concerned, in order to receive or to transmit Tuma, right? Remember, it's Machlokus Rishonim, whether or not you need a kebetza for both reception and transmission, or just for transmission, not for reception. But in any event, meaning how much dough do I need? I need the size of a kebetza. And well, again, same basic idea. Even though the dough is a composite of grains in different forms, it's still going to be mitzarif. Kamash malan detzvuv kamachim dumi debetzekos ma'asam. Ma'asam uchla beinei af hachanami uchla beinei. Meaning as long as it's food, they're all going to combine. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, now I'm bothered by the following. Chita ben kluba ben shenu kluba mitzarefes. Sa'ora kluba mitzarefes shenu kluba in mitzarefes. So the Gemara says that when it comes to wheat together with its shell around it will combine. But when it comes to barley, it has to be peeled barley, shelled barley. The shell around the barley, it's not mitzaref. Inu, the Gemara says, Vahatan Rebbe, I'm sorry, Vahatan debe Rebbe Yishmael. I'll call Zerah Zerah Shah Yizareah, Kederach Shabane Adam Motzin Lizriah, Chita Beklipasav, Vusorah Beklipasav, Adashim Beklipasan. Meanwhile, the Gemara quotes the Bryce, and the Bryce says very clearly that when it comes to wheat and barley and lentils, or anything that has shells around it, the shells is considered part and parcel of the grain, and therefore it's going to be mitzaref. So the so we have now conflicting reports in terms of whether the shell of the barley is now considered part of the barley, so that it would be mitzaref for all these halachas. Lokasha habalachus hayibiyaveshus. So the Gemara says, well, it depends on the difference between being a moist shell versus a dry shell. A dry shell, Rashi offers two pshatim over here, but basically the basic idea is that a dry shell is there just serving as protection for the barley, and it's going to fall off. It's just a shomer, and therefore it's not considered an edible part of the barley. A moist shell that goes around it is considered part and parcel of the barley, and therefore will be mitzaref. Okay. V'asurim b'charus m'lefnei ha-pesach. All these five grains are subject to the charus prohibition. And we learn it out based on a gzeirah shava from lechem lechem. Rashi over here says that this gzeirah shava is not only there to teach us about the issur of chadash, but Rashi says that this is there to teach us about the issur of chadash. Sorry, v'liktzor lifnei ha'omer. So menahani mili amar of Yochanan. So asya reishis reishis michala. Asya reishis reishis michala, and the Mishnah tells us that that as far as these five grains, not only are they going to be subject to the chala prohibitions, but also to the charis prohibitions as well. And the Gemara learns it out through a gzeirah shava. My kodem laomer. Now we say that it has to occur before the omer. What does that mean, before the omer? Meaning that the Isser Chadash is before the Omer. So Rav Yona Amar Konim Kitzira Sa'omer. So before the harvesting, and Rav Yosef Rav Zavda Amar Konim Hava Sa'omer, before the bringing of the Omer. Now, let's try to wrap our heads around this. When exactly are these grains going to be mutter? So the Gemara here gives us two significant points. One, harvest. Kitzira Sa'omer. Two, the bringing of the Omer. Now, harvesting of the Omer. Let's work backwards. Havas Omer, the bringing of the Omer, that makes perfect sense. Meaning the Omer is a matir. Right. When I bring the Omer, when I offer it on the Mizbech, I take the kamitza of the Omer and offer it on the Mizbech. The Omer now is brought. Granted, the Kohanim are now going to be eating the Shirayim, but now it's brought, now it's mutter. Good. And that serves as a matir. The first opinion, Rav Yona, it's harder to understand. Mm-hmm. Kitzira Omer, the harvesting of the Omer, the harvesting of the Omer is just a prep. It's a prep stage. So what does that mean? That once I harvest the Omer, now I'm allowed to eat all the Chadash. What does that even mean? It's not true. Rashi over here writes, Kitziris HaOmer, Aval Acher Kitziris HaOmer Shari Lechol Chadash Beheir HaMizrach. Okay, beautiful. What Rashi does is Rashi really connects the Kitziris HaOmer to the sunrise. Meaning that Kitziris HaOmer in of itself, of course, is not a significant point as being a matir. What is the significant point? So we did this 2 days ago. There are one of two options. Either the bringing of the Omer, or Heir HaMizrach, or daybreak. Right? Now Rashi earlier, by the way, I quoted the Rashi earlier, 2 days ago, Rashi says it was sunrise, not dawn. But in any event, but it's a morning. Right now, we'll keep it simple. So it's a morning. So what Rashi says over here is that when we're talking about Kitziris HaOmer, so that is another way, it's code for saying the morning of. Now, admittedly, that also is a little bit tricky. It's a little bit hard to understand. Because when is Kitzira done? We learned this also 2 days ago, 3 days ago now. And that is that we do Kitzira the night of. But as we learned in the Mishnah Megillah, when we say night, we mean the entire night. Meaning, when is the conclusion of Kitzira? The conclusion of Kitzira is the end of the night, the very morning. Okay, now that's good. So that means to say that when we say Kitzira in the Gemara, what we really mean, and again, Rashi says it over here, we really mean is morning of. Basically, what we just learned all together is that the two opinions over here are basically what we learned a couple of days ago. Meaning there are two possible significant points in terms of when the Omer is matir. Either the bringing of the Karban Omer, which if you remember on Daf Samaches, that was the opinion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. I hope I'm saying it right. No, yeah, right. I just want to make sure I got the orders correct. It was on Samaches Amud Aleph. So Rav and Shmuel came first. So Rav and Shmuel say that the Omer is matir, and according to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, it's the Yom that's matir. So basically, what we're saying over here is it's the same machlokas over here. Continuing, Bishlam Alamanda Amakodim Avasa Omer Haina Deloka Ariv Lahu Vatani Lahu. Alamanda Amakodim Kitsira Sa Omer. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If the significant point is Kitsira Sa Omer, so Le Ravina Velastino, Asurim Bechadash, Velixor Lifne Pesach. So why doesn't the Mishnah just simply unify both points? Meaning it's Asur Bechadash and it's Asur to harvest before Pesach. Ela Itmar Sefer Itmar. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So really, what this particular debate is going on is on a later point. So my karm la'omer. So over here, in terms of what's significant, you know what's significant? What we're looking at over here is not which is the matir, but the developmental growth of the grain. We know the significant point of developmental growth is hashrasha. And now, as if, now admittedly, by the way, like I don't know how we know this with this kind of precision. But it's as if we knew exactly when Hashrasha comes about. So for a moment, let's all entertain the idea that we know exactly when this point comes about. When do I need this point of Hashrasha to kick in? Do I need it to come the night of the 16th? Or can it even kick in at a later point in time, meaning the bringing of the Omer? Now it's interesting because now, in terms of the development of growth and the point of Hashrasha, now Havas HaOmer is going to be a little bit more of a lenient position. Because as long as the Hashrasha kicks in, not by the night of, but even you have till the next morning, again, as if we knew exactly when this point came, so then the Omer is going to be Matir. Okay. And the Gemara now just simply spells out this Machlokas. Rav Yona Omer Kodem Avas Omer. Rav Yosi Bar Zavda Omer Kodem Kitsiras Omer. Good. So now that's exactly the Machlokas over here in terms of when Hashrasha kicks in so that the Omer could be Matir. Good. Rabbi Elazar, I'm sorry. Amar le Rabbi Lazar le Rabbi Yoshia de Dare. Rabbi Lazar has a conversation with Rabbi Yoshia, you know, the one that's in his generation. And Rashi over here points out there are more than one Rabbi Yoshia. There's Rabbi Yoshia the Tana, and there's Rabbi Yoshia the Amar. The Gemara just simply wants us to know that he's talking to his lantzman. He's talking to his colleague, Rabbi Yoshia the Amora. Lotesa vakarech ad mefarshi le'laha. Don't sit down. First, I need you to explain to me the following. So, laha masisin minan la'omer shemati ba'ashrasha minalan. And it's a simple question. We know that the benchmark of grain in terms of its development, so that the Omer can be matir it, is taking root. We know that that's the shear. I just want to know, where do you see that in the Torah? Now, it's very funny. It could very well be that these are shiurim. These are just simple measurements, and it's part and parcel of halach l'moshe m'sinai. But the Gemara over here learns that basically it could be decoded. It's encrypted in the Torah. So where is the encryption? So the Gemara says, Dichsiv Aviv. So it says, look, what are you going to bring for the Omer? Meaning for the actual Minchas Omer. You got to bring the ripest of the barley. To which the Gemara says, Lav Mechla De'ika De'lav Aviv. So the Gemara says, okay, so in other words, so in terms of eligibility for the Omer, it's got to be the ripest. So in other words, in terms of other barley, which you're not going to bring as the Omer, but are going to become mutter with the bringing of the Omer, even non-ripe. So the Gemara says, okay, There's a wide gap between the seed taking root in the grab in the ground versus non-ripe barley, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. So the Gemara says lamichla deika de lav aviv. So the Gemara says de lav aviv olam da'il shlish. So I can make the argument that I need the grain to grow. The grain has to get to the point of a third ripe. But in other words, we're talking about a shrusha over here. That's well before we got to the point of non-ripe barley. So elam or shmuel mehachel charmesh. So again, so we'll look at another pasuk. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh describes mehachel charmesh when the stalks start growing. So and again, those are the grains that are eligible for the minchas omer. Mechal deika delabar charmesh. So that means that there's a point where even the stalks are not fully grown, and yet they can become mutter through the omer. Delabar charmesh la'olam shachas. So the Gemara says, okay, but animal feed, meaning I have a grain, it's underdeveloped. But in other words, we're talking about Hashrasha, which again, that's much earlier than when we have a stalk, and we at least have enough of a stalk for animal fodder. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Kama. Lav Mechla Delav Bar Kama. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you where we could see it in the Torah. The Torah says the word Kama, when the stalks are standing upright, which means that those are the ones they're going to bring for the Minchas Omer. When the stalks are not upright, meaning as they're growing, so still the Omer is going to be a Matir. So the Gemara says, Delav Bar Kama Lo'olam Agam. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, even in a non-kama state, there are a lot of exits on this highway before we're all the way back at Hashrasha. Okay, good. Kama is where the stalks are standing. So you're telling me that if the stalks are not standing, like in the swamp, in the marsh, when the stalks are just starting to develop. Okay, but that's still, that's well after Hashrasha. We want to go all the way back to the point of Hashrasha. Amarava Asher Tizareh, Mishas Zriah. Ah, okay, fine. So Rava says, from the Pasuk of Asher Tizareh. Now, it's interesting, you look up the Pasuk there in context, it's not talking about the Omer, see the Pasuk inside, but still, at least we do have now a benchmark of Zriah. So I'm now planting. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because if it's really that Pasuk, so then I would just simply say planting. Okay, fine. So basically, I think, the Gemara doesn't spell this out super clearly, but it's kind of like we're splitting the difference. In other words, it's a past the point of planting, before the point where the stalk actually starts growing out of the ground, somewhere along those lines. Right. So Amalei Rapapa L'Rabbi Yehachi Afagav D'Lo Yishrishnami. The Gemara says, okay, but if it's just Zriya, so then that means that it's even before Ashrasha. Amalei Sudani. So the secret of one says Bisadik Siv. No, but it also says in the field. So in other words, planting in the field. How is that understood, planting in the field? Meaning the seed is in the field, meaning connected to the field, i.e. it took root. Okay. See Rashi over here, Sudani. Why is he referred to as a Sudani? So one Rashi says, Sod Hashem L'Reav, that a Talmid Chacham knows secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Rashi also gives a second shot having to do with him being a brewer. Okay. I know. Okay. Anyway, point being, we are done. Let's just quickly recap. First half of today's daf, a discussion in the Gemara between Iker, the main growth, and Tosefus, any additional growth, and whether or not we could differentiate between the two. Gross oversimplification of the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, the five grains. The five grains as it relates to the Isser of Chadash, five grains as it relates to the Isser of, I'm sorry, to the Mitzvah of Chala and the Mitzvah of Afreshos Chala. When exactly is the grain going to become mutter through the Omer? That is the point of Ashrasha, and a lot of details and sourcing in terms of all these halachas.